Can we open our gospel meeting tonight by singing hymn number 17? Number 17 from your gospel hymn sheet. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore the load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, Lord of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Let's sing number 17. Have you Father, we thank you for another gospel meeting tonight, and we thank you that we can proclaim this wonderful news of salvation to a lost world. And we thank thee tonight that, Lord Jesus, thou hast come into this world and go to that cross of Calvary and there to die for poor lost perishing sinners such as we. And we thank thee that thou dost love us with an everlasting love. And we thank thee that we often sing inscribed upon the cross we see in shine. You know, this is a very touching hymn that we've just sung. And for each and every one of us here tonight, and especially for the young people especially for the children, especially for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. It's just as if the Lord Jesus was asking you tonight, have you got any room for me? Have you got any room for me? The Lord Jesus is asking you tonight, have you got any room for you, for me? Have you got any time for me? You know, there's room for business, and there's room for pleasure, and there's room for relaxation, and there's room for this and room for that. You know, it's a busy world in which we are living today, and our days are crammed with everything to do. And some have often said that the day isn't long enough, and there's so much to do. But, you know, the Lord Jesus is asking you tonight, have you got any room for me? I died on Calvary's cross for you. I loved you. And I gave myself for you. I suffered on the cross for you. Have you got any room for you, for me? You know, there's time when we can go up the mountain. We go skiing. You know what he's saying to you? I made that snow for you so you could go skiing. How about your garden? I made that garden for you so that you could have all those vegetables in your garden, all those plants in your garden. I made all this for you. That sun that's shining, I made that for you. That rain that is coming, I made that for you. What about you? Have you got time for me? Have you got time for me? Think of it. What a loving Savior. What a loving God. And think of it, of how his arms are outstretched to you tonight, and he's saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His arms are outstretched to this world tonight. God is not long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, lengthening out the day of grace so that the gospel could go forth once more tonight. What a wonderful God we have. Oh, it amazes me to see the long suffering of a holy God. And over and over again, I've told the story of that Alaska Airlines going down into the water about a year ago. And God allowed the gospel to go forth in that airliner as that airliner was going down into the sea. 9 minutes they had to accept that gospel that was going forth. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all they had to say. And it had to come from the heart. And God allowed those 90 passengers in that great airliner to hear the gospel once more. Once more. Once more. And God is allowing you to hear the gospel once more. Even though it's going to be feeble, he's allowing you to hear the gospel once more. Just as he went with that airliner. I'm going to give you another chance. Maybe your life was all wrapped up in all your business and your pleasure. And you were coming from some pleasure a place in this world. I'm going to give you another chance to be saved. What a loving God. What a loving God. Give you another chance to be saved. And here you are tonight, here in a gospel meeting. And God is giving you another chance to be saved. Dear young boy or young girl here tonight, God is giving you another chance to be saved tonight. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He wants you to come and come tonight. Tomorrow might be too late. Be forever too late. Maybe tomorrow if you put it off, the question of your soul's salvation. And so his arms are outstretched to you and he wants you to save you tonight. He's gone to Calvary's cross and he suffered there at Calvary's cross for you. He could say it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What a wonderful work that was accomplished for you and I at Calvary's cross. Surely I can sing tonight, it is finished, yes indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Do you just have to come as a guilty, lost sinner before a holy God tonight? And we're going to look at some verses tonight. I have in my heart that I want to preach the gospel on one verse tonight. There's going to be other companion verses to go along with it. But this verse was forcibly put before me this past summer. And there was a little incident that happened in Newfoundland. And since then, I've been thinking about this verse for the last month. I've been thinking a lot about it. And I would like you to go with me to one well-known verse that everyone here, I believe, can quote it off by heart. No, it's not John 3:16. Indeed, that is a beautiful verse, one of the most beautiful verses in the Word of God. But this verse I want to preach on tonight is Romans 10 and 9. So would we go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. But we'll start with verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? There it is, that last verse. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus, that name which is above every name. But it says here, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Oh, that's beautiful. You know, the gospel is available. It's available to everyone. And you know, we live in the North American continent, and I believe that the gospel goes out all over North America, and I don't believe there are many places in North America where the gospel hasn't been heard. There may be some small places, but I don't know of them. It's available. It's on the television, it's on the radio, it's on the billboards, it's in gospel tracts, it's coming from the pulpits, it's coming from gospel preachers on the street corner, everywhere. God wants you to hear this wonderful news of salvation. He wants it to be available to you tonight. It's available to you. You know, you can go to some of the parts of North America where it's very, very isolated. I've been way up in northern Labrador. And you think, well, would they have heard it up there? Yes, they did. In the village of Nain, in the most northern part of Labrador, they heard it in the last century. It's been heard, the gospel's been heard, and it was received. All over. It's available. And so there's no excuse for man. I can't say, I never heard the gospel before. I never heard it before. And you know, the children of the saints have heard it over and over and over again. And you know, if you rejected it, you're more responsible for than one that has very seldom heard it, or only heard it for the first time. You're more responsible. And all we just beg for your precious soul tonight, dear young one here tonight. If you're still in your sins, won't you come to Christ tonight? Tomorrow may be too late. It's available to you. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. We're going to talk a lot about mouths and hearts tonight. Each one of us here tonight have a mouth. We had a supper not too long ago. We used our mouth. We have a heart. Each one of us have a heart. And we are living souls here tonight. And dear one, tonight, are you a saved soul or are you a lost soul? Are you a saved soul or are you a lost soul? Have you ever come to the realization that you've sinned against the Holy God? You have sinned. Because the Word of God says plainly, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those sins have separated you from a holy God. But all thanks be unto God for the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. My sins are all gone, washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. It says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He doesn't want you to guess at your salvation. He wants you to know and have the assurance to know your sins are all forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven is something more than gold. That's the way we sing it in Newfoundland. To know your sins are all forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven is something more than gold. Oh, how wonderful. It's something more than gold to know Christ as your Savior. Many say, oh, it's a dull life to be a Christian. You don't go to shows, you don't go to movies, you don't go to dances, you don't go to all those worldly things. Oh, no, it's the most exciting life. Wonderful to know Christ as my own personal Savior and to know that my future settles in Christ, in Christ. And if the Lord Jesus were to come tonight, I would go to be with Him in the glory. Think of that, that shout that is going to take place. Maybe tonight, the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, there was a young boy a long time ago. I've related this story over and over again. And he stood at the grave of his grandmother. And that boy is standing in front of you right now. My grandmother Coleman passed away. And she was special to me. And I stood beside her grave. And those verses in 1 Thessalonians were read. And I didn't know the Lord as my Savior. I had put it off. I was probably a boy of about 8 years old. And as I stood there beside his grave, not seeing my grandmother again in this scene, and then the preacher read those verses, and then he said, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And I said, "That's not very comforting to me. That's not very comforting to me." To read those words of the coming of the Lord Jesus, it wasn't comforting to me because if the Lord Jesus had come, I would be forever lost. Think of that. But oh, thank God that He saved my precious soul. I have to say, in a late date, and there were years wasted, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Oh, what wasted years you'll have if you don't accept Christ as your Savior. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's positive, isn't it? That's simple. That's simple. Why isn't it that so many people are not saved? Because they don't want to. Thou shalt be saved. It's positive. It's wonderful. He didn't ask us to do something complicated to get saved. It says it only says a simple thing. Believe and live. Believe and live. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Have you done it? There's never a better moment than right now. You can be saved right in your seat tonight. All you have to do is bow your head before a holy God and ask the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. You ever heard the story of Red Tam? He thought he was one of the worst people alive. A very, very bad sinner. But you know, a verse was quoted to him, and the verse was John 6:37. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can be the worst person here in Los Angeles or Burbank, and the Lord Jesus can receive you. He'll receive you. You come just as you are. Like the songwriter says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And so that's all he wants. He wants you to come to him as a guilty, lost sinner. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For verse 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, that's you, me, and everybody else, my name is there, right in that whosoever. It's there in John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what a wonderful verse to quote to a lost world, to quote to a lost sinner. Do you know the author of that verse? You know the very middle word of that verse is the Lord Jesus. Is the Lord Jesus. Do you know that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of that wonderful verse? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to turn with me now to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what will be on the morrow. Do you know where you'll be tomorrow? That's what he's saying to you tonight. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. For what is your life? Oh, what a question. What is your life? You know what he answers it right away. It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it is gone, and then vanisheth away. Think of it. Our life is just like that. You know, I look back at my life. Another year, I'm going to be 70. And I look back and I say, what, how? It just went, flew by. It flew by. Thank God I know Christ is my own personal Savior and my future is in Christ. It vanisheth away, for that ye might ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, All such rejoicing is evil. Now this verse, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is sin. I would like to apply the verse this way. You know the gospel. You, dear one, here tonight, have heard the gospel. I believe everyone here, maybe there's an exception, have never heard the gospel. But you have heard the gospel. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And did it not, and received it not. What a solemn thing to mock the grace of God. To put off the question of your soul's salvation. To say no to the Lord Jesus. To wait for another convenient season. What a solemn thing. Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18, come now.
Oh, you know, those are two beautiful words, aren't they? Come, come, come. I believe that's one of God's favorite words. You find it all the way through the Word of God. You know, in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, he says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. That's beautiful. Oh, he loves to save families. Loves to save families. Loves to bless families. And that's what we have here tonight. Many, many families here tonight. Blessed. Saved. Thank God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Come now. Right now. Tomorrow may be too late. There's an urgency in the gospel. I love that verse, John 7:37, that was read earlier today. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, oh, think of the heart of the Lord Jesus standing there that day. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink and drink. Oh, he satisfieth the longing soul. What a Savior. What a Savior. Will you receive this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ? Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. What's this mean? What does this mean? Does this mean I argue this out with the Lord? Oh, no. 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 I believe what it means is this. I've heard it said this way. He does the talking, and I do the listening. He does the talking, and I do the listening. Listen to his precious word that is being preached tonight, and that you're hearing his precious word. The word of God liveth and abideth in it forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's not the words of the speaker that saves, it's the words of the word of God. The word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen to what he's saying to you tonight. Open those ears and listen. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Can you think of anything more whiter than snow? We had snow in Richmond the other day. Beautiful, isn't it, to wake up in the morning and see the snow on the ground. But can you think of something whiter than snow? Oh, you know, David could say, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. My sins all gone, washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a wonderful provision. What a wonderful Savior that we have to proclaim tonight. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, ye shall seek me and find me if you search for me with all your heart. Think of that. With all your heart. Not just half a heart, with all your heart. Oh, I love this wonderful book of Jeremiah. I preached the gospel from this so many times. Jeremiah, there he was pleading for the nation of Israel. Over and over again, he's told to go and preach to the nation of Israel that coming judgment was going to come upon them. And he faithfully preached over and over again and never flinched from that. And oh, that we might be faithful in preaching the gospel to a lost world and never give up. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. It's often been said, a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior will always meet. You'll meet the Savior if you look for Him. You'll find Him. He wants to be found. He wants to be found. What a lovely person that we have to proclaim tonight. Do you know this wonderful person? Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. This beautiful verse. Beloved, here tonight, read this verse slowly, carefully. What a beautiful verse. Verse 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Who is this? The Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is holy. He's holy and cannot look upon sin. Think of that. He cannot look upon sin. Your sins have separated you from a holy God. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. You want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on His terms. Contrite, humble before Him. Before Him. Contrite, humble before Him. Have you come like that? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. As a guilty, lost sinner, the prodigal son could say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But think of the father throwing his arms around that lad and kissing him. Bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And they began to be merry. For all eternity, we'll be with the Lord Jesus, praising him, worshiping him, thanking him for what he has done for us, for saving us, and making us his. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God. Wonderful, beautiful. I just have to say hallelujah. What a Savior that He saved my precious soul. Can you say that tonight? Has He saved your precious soul? Do you know Christ as your own personal Savior tonight? Oh, there's an awful urgency to it. Tomorrow may be too late. Acts chapter 8. the Ethiopian eunuch, a black man. God delights to save black people too. He likes to save white people too. All red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Here's the black man, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, there it is, Romans 10 and 9 again, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Have you told the Lord Jesus that? Have you told Him that? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isaiah 29. Verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near to me with their mouth and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. How about that? Is it just with your lips, or is it with both? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, it's very important, dear one. Well, I said I was going to, I was going to tell you about the incident that caused me to take up this scripture tonight. It's one of the sweetest things that I have ever witnessed in my life. There was a bus accident in Newfoundland. I don't know whether that was part of it. The Spirit of God works. And I'm so thankful for that. Wonderful to see the workings of the Spirit of God in a soul. There was a gospel meeting the next night in the tent, and there were two little boys sitting up front, and those two little boys were just glued to the speaker. The gospel was being preached. You know, sometimes as you're preaching the gospel, you can look around the room and you can see some that are not even listening, or probably got their attention somewhere else, or maybe something in their lap. But these two little boys were just glued to the speaker. And he was giving him the gospel. One boy was 9, the other boy was 10. The next day, these two little boys, we fanned out with our cars, but because we didn't have a bus, and we fanned out with our cars, and it was my duty to pick up these two little boys, one in the front seat and one in the back seat. And as we were going back to the gospel tent, and my hearing is not good, especially in a car, but I picked up something that this little boy in the back seat was trying to tell me. I suppose the Spirit of God was getting my attention. Here's a little boy in the back seat, and he was telling me something. And this is what he was telling me. He says, you know, I wanted to get saved last night, but I didn't know what to tell the Lord. I didn't know what to tell Him. You know, he'd already said, I didn't know what to tell the Lord. The Lord. I believe He's already a quickened soul. That precious name, that Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, we know. There was a gospel meeting that morning. I was asked to open up the gospel meeting for the singing. And I felt led to go to Romans 10 and 9 because I could just detect that there was a work going on in this young lad's soul. And I didn't know what to tell the Lord, he said. And there it is. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus said, Lord. And I said, you have to mean it. You have to mean it. It has to come from your heart. And dear one, tonight, even though you come from a Christian home, or what kind of a home you came from, you have to mean it. It has to be real with you. It's very important. It has to come from the heart. A little while later, a brother got up and preached the gospel, a brother Doug Berry. And you know what he spoke on? The Spirit of God working again. The Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You've heard that story over and over again, haven't you? But have you accepted that story? Have you accepted it? It's so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That young lad accepted Christ as his Savior that very day. And he was telling us later, when we talked to him, I'll tell it to you in Newfoundland language. He says to me, he says, yes, but you has to says what you means. You has to says what you means. That young boy got saved that night. How about you tonight? Have you says what you means? Is it real with you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Have you come just like that little boy did? Maybe there's a little boy here tonight, 9 years old, that still doesn't know Christ as your own personal Savior. How about it, young boy? Do you know Christ as your Savior? This little boy came from a poor home, came from a poor little fishing village. You come from pretty good homes, I believe. You have every opportunity to be saved. Growing up in Christian homes, my, how you should thank God for Christian parents that have prayed for you. My mother still prays for me. I know she does, even though she's 95. Wonderful, isn't it, to have Christian parents? You ever thank the Lord for those Christian parents that you've got that have raised you under the sound of the Word of God? I was raised that way. But have you accepted Christ as your Savior? You can't come on your parents' merit. You have to come just like your parents did, as a guilty, lost sinner, an individual before a holy God, an individual before a holy God. And so I say to you tonight, won't you come tonight? Won't you come tonight? Tomorrow might be too late. Might be too late tomorrow. I want to turn to one last passage. We had this in our reading not too long ago. Judges chapter 12. And for the sake of time, I'm going to read from verse 5. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so, when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto them, art thou an Ephraimite? And he said, nay. And they said unto him, say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. And they took him and slew him in the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000 men. Now think of this. 42,000 men perished because they could not frame to say the word Shibboleth. Dear one, tonight, are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? Are you real? You see, there were some here that weren't real, and their speech betrayed them. And 42,000 of them died, perished, because they could not say that word properly. Now, dear friend, tonight, over and over again, I quoted Romans 10 and 9. That, dear one, tonight is your shibboleth. Can you quote that verse from the heart? Can you quote it before a holy God who delights to save and who wants to save you tonight? I'm going to quote that verse again right now before this gospel meeting ends. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a salvation that we offer a lost world tonight. What a Savior that we offer a lost world tonight. There's a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, His love great and free. Oh, come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. Receive Him this moment, and peace shall be thine. Hymn number 10. There is a Savior.